Next is attractions. Now we already know there are various types of attractions. There are man-made natural attractions, there are cultural heritage, there are historical attractions which will attract. So these are the attractions. Now a destination will be sought after by those specifically going for that destination. For example, if I am interested in nature, I might choose a destination which has many natural attractions on it. If I am talking about, say, a beach destination, I might go and choose a particular city which is near the beach. So I might go for Miami. All right, then suppose if I am a person who loves going and visiting wildlife sanctuaries, I might go for a country like Kenya or South Africa. So these are the ways how a traveler might choose a particular destination. And an overall destination, a balanced destination, would be such which gives all kinds of attractions. So these are the types of attractions that we have when we talk about destinations. Now let us check what are the other elements of international tourism. Now when we are talking about international tourism, it needs to have certain things. There are certain things which are a part and parcel of an international tour. Now certain elements which are known as direct elements refer to tourism facilities with which every tourist is concerned individually. Now with respect to direct elements, this will be something which is directly connected to the tourist. Alright, so this is suppose when we talk about an international tour, these direct elements has to be a part of that tour. Indirect elements refer to tourism facilities meant for the entire tourist population, generally created by the government organizations or large private organizations. Now these are on an indirect basis, so these are also serving the tourist but indirectly. Let us see them in detail. These are the direct elements of tourism. Now the first one is transportation. Obviously, this is an integral part of tourism, because I need to travel or I need to transport to that particular destination to have a touristic experience. Next is the activities and attractions. Now, if I'm talking about, say, a cultural heritage building at that site, it's an attraction. If I'm talking about scuba diving or rock climbing, or there are other activities like skiing at that destination, it is an integral part of tourism. And so it is directly connected with the tourist. So that's a direct element of tourism. Tourism marketing. Now this is again an integral part of tourism industry, because it has a direct effect on the tourist. So I am influenced by this tourism marketing, and I am going to that particular place. There can be other discounted fares which can come as a part of tourism marketing and which is affecting tourists directly. So say there are promotions which are held exclusive packages to certain places. So this is a direct element with respect to tourism. Then we have food and beverages. Of course, it will cater to the tourist. When a tourist is going to that place, I need restaurants, I need snacks places, I need bars or lounges or coffee shops. All of this is going to directly be there in with respect to tourism. Then we have the shoppings or the shopping centers. Now it is an integral part of tourism. We will shop for souvenirs. Tourists will shop for souvenirs. They will also shop for day-to-day life. Suppose if I want a mineral water bottle, or I want certain other things that I need to buy from a general store. So shopping forms a part of tourism. Then we have the insurance. Now there comes the travel insurance policies which are directly sold to the travelers who are traveling. So this insurance policies, depending upon the need of the traveler, are given. So it can be an extended travel insurance policy, it can be a baggage loss policy, it can be insurance against delayed flights, it can be insurance against third person liability, it can be an insurance against personal accidents or with respect to any other ailments that you have. So all this might be a direct element of tourism. Then we have the foreign transactions. Since I'm going abroad, I am bound to buy something, sell something. So those are the foreign transactions that are taking place in foreign exchange. So foreign exchange, foreign transactions, the banks, the money exchangers are all a part of tourism and tourist publications and information. Clearly, when I'm going to a particular destination, I might want to carry a map of that destination. I might want to carry a tourist book, guidebook with me for that destination. If you see that even in India, when you see people coming from abroad here, they're carrying with them, say, a guidebook of Lonely Planet. If to some other place, we might make sure that we have certain pamphlets. Ideally, these pamphlets or maps are available at tourist offices in that particular country. So all of these elements are a part of tourism. Now these are individually taken, wherein we are talking about water transportation. Traveling on water fascinates many tourists. Travel by water preferred to air travel by many to avoid airport delays, congestion and lack of comfort in air journeys. Cruises provide the most luxurious experience for international travelers with facilities. These are the listed facilities which are there. Now when we talk about the water transport, ideally we are talking about cruises. Now this cruises bag can be on a big ship and ocean liners. There can be also certain other cruises like which are going on an inland river cruise. So depending upon what type of cruise we are dealing with, it will be the duration will matter. Again, what will matter is what are the facilities on that particular ship. Most of the ship cruises are meant for recreation purposes. So there are many things which come on a cruise ship. So there are tennis, basketball, badminton courts, swimming pools, spas, entertainment things, bars, lounges. There are even golf playgrounds, etc. on those ships. So water transport is essential and is a part of tourism field, especially with respect to cities which are near the water bodies, or especially with the cities which are near to the coast. Now the air travel types, what do we have here are the scheduled services and the charter services. Now when I'm talking about air travel and I'm talking about tourism, I am bound to take certain air travel. If I'm going on an international trip, ideally I'm going for a far off place, so I have to take a flight. So with this respect, there are scheduled services. These are the pre-planned. There is a proper timetable. These are the planes which are leaving at exact time, at exact date, and I have a ticket to board on these scheduled services. So this operate on a defined domestic and international routes. Airlines are required to follow the declared timetable despite the extent of passenger loading. So this is pre-planned or as per the timetable, whereas charter services do not have a timetable. They need to be booked. It's like hiring an airplane. So if I am chartering a flight, suppose if I am chartering a flight from my country to some other country, there are certain rules and regulations which need to be followed, and I have to take this charter flights with me. So ideally the cost of a charter flight will be much more than a ticket on a scheduled services. There are many airlines who give charter flights. Most of the times the charter flights might be in an aircraft which is smaller in size. Many tourism offers include chartered flights, often costing less than the conventional airfares. Now this we are talking about short distances, wherein we are talking about charter flights to a remote island off the mainland. So in that regards, it might come up to be less when we are talking about when we are comparing it with the scheduled airfares. And it needs not to be operated on uneconomical loading. So if there are certain rules which are followed, suppose if it is uneconomical for that charter flight to fly, it might not. So these are about the air travel types. What other options that we have are the land transportation. Now when we are talking about land transportation, we are talking about even in international travel, in certain cases where countries share a land border. So it will be crossing across a land. Further ahead, I am talking about land transportation wherein going in a city, that will be the city tours. that I have land transportation options to use. So the one of the most mostly used option would be the motor cars. Now ideally I can rent a motor car when I'm talking about a travel with respect to individual travel. So if I'm traveling with a family of four, I might rather take a motor car than go for a coach, depending upon what I prefer and what the costings are. So when I'm using a motor car for my option as an option for land transportation, it gives it is comfortable, it is more convenient, and it gives me a flexibility. So most convenient, independent, and flexible travel options for small families. So that is one of the prime thing when I'm talking about going in places, in destinations with respect to cars. Then we have the rail transport. Ideally, one might have chosen a rail transport because he did not have an option. But today, as the present trend we have, people are opting for rail tourism or rail as an option for traveling, because it gives you a different kind of experience to travel. So there are many trains, like luxury trains, scenic trains, which are giving, which are attracting the tourist. And there are rail tourism packages which are promoted. Further, again, some people might opt for a train travel because it is more convenient. It is more faster to reach that particular destinations, or it can be ideal way, that is, it can be affordable to reach that destination. So that's the reason why rail transport would be there. Next, these are the examples over here. That's Palace on Wheels or Orient Express are the great tourist attractions. So it is the train journey itself which acts as an attraction. Let's see the next ones which we have, the camper vans. So when we are talking about camper vans, we are talking about living in that particular van itself. And these are increasingly popular, especially in the US, where nearly 25 million Americans use camper vans. Now they combine transport, they combine living in, that is accommodation facilities, and can provide all modern day living comforts on the road. So ideally, this is a popular trend. When we are talking about country like US, they are equipped with camper van parking facilities or parking grounds which are given. There are many other things like recreation vehicles, RVs, which are also present. So it will be a vacation through camper vans. Then there are coaches. We are talking about bus coaches, intercity coaches. So these are very popular intercity bus services where there are comfortable reclining seats or sleeper seats for the convenience of long distance night travel by road. Now ideally, when I am going for a road trip, I might prefer to travel on coach. Now these coaches also have inbuilt amenities with them. So if we compare with certain coach services like the Amtrak, which is there, then Greyhound buses which are there. Even in India, we have a very good bus system. Most of them are privately owned or privately operated. All this have regular bus services to certain cities and are well connected. Depending upon which destination you are in, a bus service might be convenient because it might be shorter distance or flexible in use, or going to a place which is well connected by road rather than the rail. Here coaches might play a very important part in attracting the tourist. In case of international countries or countries like USA, there are many different kinds of amenities which are given on board, dining services on board, meal services which are given inside the bus. So that is the coach system as a part of land transportation. The next what we have is the accommodation. We already discussed this part wherein there are different grades of hotels. Inside those particular hotels, there are different types of rooms. So we can take, say, a beach viewing room, or we can take a poolside room. We can take a garden view room. Again, there can be depending upon the occupancy of that room. So it will be double room, single room, quadruple room, that is for four, or triple rooms. So all this will be under accommodation. Further ahead, there are different types of hotels or different types of accommodation facilities. So we are not talking about age-old hotels. We are not talking about a hotel. We are talking about, say, tents. We are talking about tree houses or houseboats. These are also catering to the tourist. So a destination might attract a traveler because it is, accommodation is given in a royal palace, which was earlier a palace, but now it's a converted hotel. So that's heritage hotels. So tourists can have accommodation is different types, and many of the hotels will provide all the facilities, modern facilities which are here. Next is the activities and attractions. As discussed earlier, it will be with respect to the types of attractions that are present. It can be natural, man-made, others. And when we are talking about activities, it is more of a doers. That is, tourists are more doers now when we are talking about the present trend. So tourists need to do something when these people go at a destination. So it can be tourist activities, ranging from workshops or ranging from volunteering in a particular project at a destination. It can be going in trekking, mountaineering, adventure sports, it can be swimming in seas, oceans, lakes. All of this are part of tourist activities, and these are direct elements that are involved. Furthermore, there are certain other things like shopping and cultural exchange. So this exchange with the local or the host people is a part of the travel experience that we have. And this are depending upon the attractions, how we choose a destination. The next what we have is the tourism marketing, which is the direct element. Now inside here, distribution of tourism product is more important. So if I have a destination Singapore, and I am in a country like India, if I know about that particular destination and I am, say, interested in visiting in Singapore, but I am not having people around wherein I can go ahead and find the information about Singapore, or I can go ahead and book destinations in Singapore, then I might not go ahead and take that particular package. So over here, tourism marketing takes a major role. Why? Because the network should be strong. So if I have a destination which I need to promote, it is essential that the tourists are able to reach to that destination. Reach in the sense, not physically reach, but before reaching there, I should know every information about that particular destination. So what you can see will be sold faster. So here, this is tourism marketing which takes place. So it is the retail network of various travel agents, tour operators and tourist organizations which might come together and play a part in tourism or marketing. Further, what we have is the diverse tourism activities, such as provision of transport, food, accommodation, entertainment, luxury tourism, attractions, guide services and so on. These are also a part of tourism marketing. So these are the things which are involved in tourism marketing to make sure that the tourism experience is very good. Marketing is important because customers and final service are geographically different. So like I said, if I am sitting in India and I have Singapore as my destination, the tourism marketing of Singapore should be so good that it attracts the travelers. So overall, this is the fact wherein tourism marketing is important and is directly related to tourists. Next that we have is food and beverages. Earlier, as discussed, it plays an integral part of any tour. A person can experience the cultural dissimilarities that are present acts as a positive impact to a tour. But it is the food, if not up to the mark or not good enough, the tourist might have a bad experience of that destination. So here it is not only the availability, but the quality of the food and beverage services that matters. Now let's see the second point that we say is the food and beverage here. It is a special tourist attraction. There are many countries who attract the tourist on the basis of its food or beverage. There are many countries who are famous for its cuisine. So it's country like Singapore, which has a wide variety of street food. There are food festivals which are taking place in many of the countries. Then there is Thailand, Malaysia, who has exquisite cuisine. So people actually go there and enjoy these cuisines. Similarly, in India, if we can say, there are many people, many international tourists who might want to taste the famous Indian curries, who might want to taste the Mughlai, which is the Indian cuisine. They might go and visit Rajasthan and have what Rajasthani food tastes like. So what happens here, it acts as a special tourist attraction with careful consideration and understanding of food preferences of travelers across the globe. So the difference of food can be used as an USP to attract tourists. So this can be taken here. Now the international chains, that is the food giants like McDonald's, KFC's, Burger King's, and the beverage kings like Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. These have developed many chains across the world. They are international brands. So what happens is, if I'm going to a country, I can definitely find this brands over here. So the entire food giant or the food chains is due to the rapid expansion of international travelers. So you can easily notice that there might be McDonald's near a tourist attraction. So this is the food and beverage part. Next is the shopping. Now shopping can be both a tourist attraction and a basic necessity. Now a tourist attraction, how? There are many countries, like I said earlier, and the listed ones: Dubai, Singapore, Hong Kong, Bangkok. These are the ones which are famous for its beautiful shopping streets, different malls, and the variety that you can find. Most international tourists would like to carry the artifacts and souvenirs. Now here comes in picture what is locally available there, what is locally made there. So suppose if I am going and buying a particular type of chocolate from a country that is indigenous or that is locally made, that is something of a souvenir and I am coming back with it. So similarly, this is a part and parcel of traveler's experience for that destination. So shopping can be a tourist attraction and it can be a necessity wherein I am buying certain things to use during my tour. So it is again catering directly to the tourist. Insurance, like we listed earlier, these are the types of insurances. Cancellation and curtailment holiday, there are certain policies which also deal with this. So what happens here is that suppose if my holiday gets cancelled, alright, I can have an insurance claim against that if I have gone through the same, I have bought the that particular policy. It is delayed departure. So in case my flight is delayed and I have bought a policy which covers the delayed departures, I can go ahead and claim it. Baggage loss, money loss, and personal liability. Now, when we talk about personal liability, there are different types of personal liability. It is ideally covering harm done by a third party or harm done by me to the third party. So, what happens is, suppose if you are going to abroad and you have hired a car and there has been an accident and there are certain financial that you have to pay certain money. So, that money you have been insured under personal liability claim or a third party claim or some other kinds of policies. So similarly, if I have went and I have caused certain damage to certain things over there and I have to pay, okay, that will be covered under this kind of policies. We have personal accidents, medical care and hospitalization, all are covered in insurances. So ideally there are many policies under insurance, but these are the main types. Now the foreign transactions, so earlier said when we talked about the modes of foreign transactions, these are wherein we are using actual cash, wherein I am carrying the foreign exchange, physical money. Taking traveler's checks. Now when we talk about traveler's checks, these are specially made for travelers. These are checks which are pre-printed. Okay, so how the operation takes place is that when I am leaving my country, I am paying certain amount to the bank here, and in return I am getting checks of that particular amount, which are in India, if I am buying buying Indian traveler's check, it might be of denominations which are already printed. So it might be traveler's checks of 500 rupees or 1000 rupees. Similarly, when I'm going to some other country, I'm carrying traveler's checks with me which has an amount which is already written. So when I'm going abroad, I might buy something and I will give this particular check, which is a traveler's check, after signing in and showing my passport. So the person who is taking the traveler's check has a guarantee that the money is already paid, because it is through a traveler's checks operation system. So this is how the traveler's checks are operated. Further ahead, there are advanced transfers that are there. Travel vouchers. These travel vouchers are issued by the travel agents in advance. All you have to do is to go and give those travel vouchers to the party concerned. So if I have already booked a pre-planned tour and I have paid for it, then the traveler might give me a tour voucher, which I have to go in my my destination country and exchange it for the services. Use of international debit and credit cards and the IFTPOS cards. These are the card system which are specific to that particular country. So it works on a similar basis as debit or credit cards. It is more popular in countries like USA, Australia or New Zealand. So these are the way of paying for goods and services when we are traveling on an international tour. Now, the tourist publications and publicities. For this, we have the brochures and pamphlets, tourism information bureaus, internet websites and travel guides. Now, when we talk about international websites today, we all have all the travelers might be techno savvy and they are traveling with gadgets which are having internet access. So any information you can easily get from travel websites, ideally even on the tour and even before going to tour. So any information is available on online. So that's internet websites. All this play a part for tourism marketing again. Next, what we have is the entertainment avenues for tourists. We have indoor and outdoor games, music programs, dramas. Here we are talking about the musical concerts, operas, which act as something which is attracting the tourists. So suppose if I am talking about certain musical concerts which take place only at that destination, if they are showing you cultural dances in that destination, it is definitely a traveler tourist puller. So similarly, if we compare it with tourist attraction in India, there are festivals like dance festivals, culture festival in India in various states. So this is something which attracts the tourist. Theaters, cinemas, there are then the nightlife which is involved. So there are certain cities which are famous for its brilliant nightlife. So these are the bars, nightclubs. Then there are cities which are famous as gambling joints and casinos. So it is Las Vegas, city like Goa, which might attract because of the casinos that there are there. Then there are other cruises which also have casino themes to it. And we have the theme parks. So all this are the entertainment avenues for the tourist. Now let us see these were the direct elements. Let us see which are the indirect elements of international tourism. Now the tourism infrastructure, which including well-connected airports, it is one of the necessities here. Sufficient international flights, the international flights should be regular and well-connected to many countries. Water transport facilities were feasible, including ports, cruises and water sports. So it has to be there. International communication facilities, including telephone, fax services. So in a place where this is there, it is an added benefit for the tourist. Internet connectivity at high speeds and Wi-Fi. Now when we are talking about destinations which are remote or far off or slightly disconnected from the main world, okay, making it the offbeat destinations, high speeds and Wi-Fi connections might not be present, but this is a part of that particular destination's USB, that is, it is offbeaten. So it is slightly away from the main destinations here. International mobile phone services, clear signboards at various places visited by tourists. So ideally this signboard should be in the local language and a language which is known clearly. So if we see in India, most of the signboards are in the local language of that particular state and also written in English, which is understood by most of the people. Clean hygienic facilities for the tourist, proper hotels, restaurants, cafes, enough shopping facilities. So all this are other elements which are involved in tourism. Now let's check what are the global scenarios. We already know there are many facts and figures that we have checked for the tourism. When we talk about international tourism, here are certain facts. One of the fastest growing industries in the world, tourism is generating 9.4% of the total world GDP in 2009. 8.2% employment directly or indirectly is involved in tourism industry. In 2008, international tourist arrivals stood at 920 million. So these are the number of people who are crossing international borders. International tourism receipts expected to cross, that's a very huge number, 1000 billion by 2015. So that is something which has been expected, and definitely seeing the present scenario, the international tourism is on a high. So on seeing the global scenario, we know that the international tourism market is huge and progressive. Now, when we are talking about international tourism and we are talking about Indian tourism industry, what is the scenario that we have? Let's check where we stand when we talk about international tourism. And these are the listed points here: India's rich heritage, history, diversity of nature, wonderful variety of flora and fauna, fascinating variety in terms of culture, religion and social milieu, relatively low cost of travel, food, accommodation and other touristic requirements, and magnificent historical monuments. So if we see India as an international destination for other countries, these are the points which work beneficial for India. It gives the great variety. India already is famous for its culture, unique culture and history. Furthermore, it's the cost that is more attractive, because it is comparatively on a lesser gradient. So when a traveler is traveling to India, he can have all these experiences at relatively less prices. So these are the highlights or where India stands. So clearly we know that India has things to offer for the international tourist, and with the right kind of strategies, right kind of promotions, marketings, India can be one of the good travel destinations. Now, these are certain statistics that we have pertaining to Indian tourism. Generation of tourism revenue to touch rupees 2000 billion by 2014. Tourism income amounting to 3.1% of GDP. Personal tourism contributes 55% of total travel market. Business tourism is about 9%. Capital investment in tourism infrastructure about 24% of the total investment. And India is among top tourist destinations of the world. Now, by this facts, we know what are the things that are standing before India with respect to international tourism. Now, this session has dealt with international tourism overviews, and what we have done in this session would be the scope and importance of international tourism. We have studied what are different motivations of travel and tourism. We have studied international tourism compared to domestic tourism, the differences in between. We have studied what are the constituents of international tourism. We have studied international tourism and the Indian perspective in this session. So all these points are moving in and around international tourism. So I hope the session was helpful, giving you an overview of what international tourism is all about. Good reads would be seeing certain statistics about what international facts and figures are, and certain other listings. So suppose if you go online and you are reading top 10 destinations, you can search in that way and see what are the top destinations in international, that is throughout the world. Thank you.